Corey Taylor, how are you, buddy?
What's up, man? How are you?
Are you nonstop touring? Are you in exhausted mode, or are you loving it?
You know, I mean, at this point, everything's extra, you know?
Yeah.
So I just kind of sleep when I can and duck my head and get through it, you know?
It's so weird because you seem to be, for a guy in the weirdest, heaviest rock in his band, seem to be the most normal guy in the world.
Yeah, you know, well, normal is a state of mind, right? I mean, it's cool, you know? I get to lose my head on stage. And then I come home and I'm a dad, I'm a husband, you know, like I wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest, but I get all the benefits and none of the down crap.
Yeah, that's a good life. That's when you're rich. I was sitting there and I was looking at some videos and talking to the guys. You familiar? I don't know if you watch wrestling at all. You know who Kane is from the WWE?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So Kane is a superstar. He's a legend in the WWE.
Right.
He helped bring them back,
yeah.
and he wore the mask, and then finally, after like 20 years, he got to take the goddamn mask off. I wonder if you guys are like, as violent as you are, your faces must sweat. You must look at each other and go, "What the hell are we thinking?"
You know, the cool thing is, like after, and remember when Kane put the mask back on?
Yeah,
they added hair to it, which was weird.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, wait a minute, was the hair in it the whole time? It was crazy, you know. But I remember when that switch happened, and then I love the fact that he kind of steps in and out, because right now he's corporate Kane, of course.
I love that you know about wrestling.
Dude, I'm a wrestling fanatic. Like I watch everything, and not only WWE, but I watch Impact, I watch TNA. Like I watch it all.
Get out of here! Nobody, even the biggest fans, don't watch TNA. Look at this guy.
Well, I tell you what, some of the time, like a lot of the matches are sometimes better,
yeah.
You know, with the exception of NXT, I mean, WWE is a little stiff right now.
Yeah,
you know? And it's not because you don't want to watch those guys wrestle; it's just they're getting up there. But that's the cool thing about NXT is it's bringing the new blood in. Dude, I could talk wrestling for, like, all day.
I would almost rather talk. This is even better. You realize that we're in an earshot of Orlando. You just gave all the NXT guys boners that you guys are watching. I think that they would be so excited about that.
Yeah, I watch, that's one of the great things about getting the network is you've got, like, all the access to the NXT. And, I mean, there's so many great talents in that, like, right now. They're so rad. But,
don't you feel like every time I talk about the network, I feel like I'm doing a commercial for it because I can't believe
I
paid so much money for those pay-per-views and I get the whole thing for $10 a month.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, the old, like, the Hogan promos is like $9.99.
Yeah. By the way, we're talking to Corey Taylor of Slipknot for anybody who just tuned in and thinks we're talking
about a wrestler.
But as exciting as you are, I mean, did you ever think about ditching it and being like, get these goddamn things off, or there's so much a part of what Slipknot is, you're stuck for life now?
For about 10 seconds, every night when we put them on.
Yeah.
We look at each other and we're just like, yeah, let's wear masks. Great idea. But honestly, no, to be honest. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why I've always changed mine.
Yeah.
You know, like mine evolves with the music, you know, because with every album, I'm a different person, you know, and I got to represent who that person is in that moment, you know. So mine changes, Clowns changes, Sid changes. Like all of ours kind of, they change either dramatically or subtly, you know?
Sure.
That's kind of the cool thing. Like, it's not the same thing over and over and over. It may aesthetically be a little similar, but it's always different. I think that's one of the reasons why we still love doing it. Because honestly, after that 10 seconds of complaining, you put it on, and then within 5 minutes, you forget that you're wearing it.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. Like, I mean, you go on stage, and it's like, all right, I'm gonna pull my head off now and kick it in the audience. That's a cool thing.
Did you think you'd be going this strong, 10 years strong? That you'd have still? I mean, you know, a lot of people say rock is dead. I was just talking about that earlier, but not Slipknot.
I'm so tired of hearing that.
Yeah,
man. Like it's, you know, I mean, all due respect to Mr. Simmons. I think when he talks about rock being dead, I think he talks about the old school way of album tour. Like, it's just, that's just not the way you do it anymore. There's so many other things and ways to you know, continue the history of this industry and to continue to be on top. I mean, yeah, I'm looking out at, you know, headlining Download in the UK. It's like, yeah, rock is dead. That's why there's 85,000 people here at 11:30 at night in a downpour and nobody left. Yeah, rock's dead. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let me ask you, as somebody who's been through the time of where was rock tour and now with do you find it financially, do you take a big beating on it now that people are basically, there's a whole new way to get music now than probably when Slipknot first started?
The only thing that's really been affected is album sales, you know, because I mean there's still just as many rock fans out there as there were,
and how much is that
coming up?
And how much is that duty? I mean, what, you guys make money off of touring and merchandise anyway? Wasn't that always the big thing? And the record companies got the album sales.
Yeah. So. I mean, you essentially, I mean, the contracts that you signed back then, even today, you'd have to sell, you know, 5-6 million at a pop to be able to kind of, you know, turn a profit.
Right.
So it's like, you know, for people like me, it wasn't about, you know, it wasn't about making money off the album sales, you know. I mean, it'd be nice.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the essential, you know. I've always said nobody is more surprised by our success than we are. Because, I mean, when we started, we were the band that was like, okay, hopefully we can get to a level where we can sell maybe 200,000 and just tour. You know, just tour for a year and a half.
Right.
And really build that foundation, and then when everything blew up for us, we were like, what? You know, it blew us away. So, I mean, we've never been worried about, you know, making money off of that. It's, you know, for me, it's, you know, the album is the calling card. You know, like, that's, you know, you hope people are hearing the music,
right?
But it's not essential to you know, to sell the music, you know. And that's the thing you kind of have to balance today, because people still, you know, people are still buying CDs, but they're also buying music on iTunes. They're paying for accounts on Spotify. So it's not like they're not hearing the music. So when they come and see the show and you play a song that, you know, is brand new and you get that huge pop, that's what it's all about.
Sure.
It's all about that live show. And we just started playing Kill Pop on this last tour. And, you know, we had put the video out probably a week before, and with every show after that, the pop got bigger and bigger and bigger, and to the point where people were losing their minds. That's a brand new song, you know, for all intents and purposes. So for me, the album is just the way to get the people to come in. You know, that's how you further it, you know?
Right.
And later on down the line, if you make a little coin, you know, for, you know, eventually you sell enough albums, then so be it. But for the most part, you can't worry about that, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's about people knowing the music, not owning it.
And that's usually the key to success. I mean, you anybody can go out and be a rock star, but there's a difference between a rock star and really being an artist. I mean, you're a guy who, I mean, you see how much emotion is in the Slipknot songs, and certainly in this album. You guys have been through a lot. The band's had a loss, and it shines through in the album. And if that's your main focus other than selling albums, that's a big difference between an artist and somebody who just wants to go out and be a rock star.
Exactly. And that's the whole reason that we've approached albums the way we have, or just writing music in general. It's like, you know, if we're not happy with this, why the hell will we put it out?
Yeah.
You know, if we're not getting something out of this, why would we put it out there for people to go, I'm not feeling it? If we're feeling it, and then that's it, you know, then you hope that people are into it. But if not, you still at least got to do something that fulfilled you, you know, so you'll never walk away unhappy.
We're talking to Corey Taylor of Slipknot. Is it hard? Is there ever a time in the band when you have a band member that you lost, you have another one that left? Is there ever a time where you say, hey, maybe we're done here and we move on to something else?
You know, I mean, there was a brief period where, you know, we were kind of questioning it. I mean, even while we were kind of doing the subsequent tours after we lost Paul, you know, like, it was just, it was hard.
Right.
You know? I mean, every show was hard. But it got a little easier, really just because of the fans. You know, the fans needed us, you know, and we needed them just as much as they needed us. So it was really kind of, you know, that kind of rediscovering the fan base again and, you know, helping each other kind of get back up on our feet. So, you know, after everything that went, you know, that went down, it was encouraging to know that the fans were still there and that, you know, they weren't going to let us fall. And as long as we kept doing things the way that we have always done, you know, they were always going to be there, you know? And so when, you know, when this album came out, by the time we got into the studio, we were recommitted.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know what, we're going to tell the story for Paul, but we also want to do this, you know? And because people can smell a lie like a fart in a car. I don't know? So when you do something that is disingenuous, when you're essentially faking it, people can tell.
Yeah.
People will rip you down as quickly as they put you back up.
Oh,
so
yeah.
For us, leading with our hearts has always done us right. So that's, you know, once we went out, especially that first show on Knobfest, it was like, okay, let's see what happens. And it was fantastic. So, I mean, we're very fortunate right now.
Where is the, I always wonder, like, you're obviously huge here in the United States, but I know as you get further in Eastern Europe, it gets crazier and crazier.
Where's Brazil and Spain.
Yeah, where's the craziest Slipknot fans?
I tell you what, man, they're kind of all over the place at this point. Like, everybody's crazy in a different way. Like, even in Japan, where respect is such a huge part of their heritage, and even with the, you know, like the, like passing it down to like the younger generation,
right?
People are very respectful, and they're very, you know, but then they come to a Slipknot show, man, and something happens. Like, I don't know what it is.
Well, they're built up.
It is, dude, it's out of hand.
Yeah.
Like, first time we went over there, I mean, we played like, I want to say it was like four or five shows in Japan, and I mean, it was absolutely rammed, and it was chaos, and they were trying to sneak us out. They got us all in one van, which is definitely dangerous. We're still in our rigs,
right?
Like, just trying to get away. And the fans flooded out of the club, saw us in the van, and then proceeded to go Beatles on us. Dude. Like, I mean, shaking it like it was a seven on the Richter scale. And of course, we're all still kind of high on adrenaline from the show. We're like, oh, we're gonna die, right? You know? And I mean, it was, dude, it was crazy. Got out of there, but. I mean, it's just, there's something about this band that just brings out something special and messed up.
Yeah, you know, it's...
But it's, and it's kind of like that everywhere.
How old is your kid, the youngest one?
My youngest one is a baby.
Oh, okay. So, like, I have an 8-year-old, and I put it on last night. I was telling him that you were going to be on the show today, and I put it on, and I don't know if he'd necessarily ever heard it before. And it just automatically, the head starts bobbing.
Oh, yeah.
It's that animal instinct that people have. You know, we're talking to Corey Taylor. Slipknot is going to be here on July 25th. Oh, boy, you're going to enjoy putting those masks on when it's 93 degrees and humid out here, buddy.
I tell you what, it's, you know, if I hadn't felt it before, I probably wouldn't be prepared for it, but it's, I'm so used to it, dude. It's not
good. Let me tell you. Can I tell you something else about the mask that I don't know why I'm so obsessed with this today. This is gonna be the gayest thing I ever said. But you're a good looking dude, and when you're single and you're wearing the mask, you should be like, every once in a while, I should take it off and remind everybody there's a handsome man under here.
See
with
a girl
nice eyes
in the front row. Yeah. Lift the mask up. Look, check it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is that right around Volume 3, I was voted the fourth hottest dude in heavy metal. And this was while I was in the math. And I was like, what? Really? Hey, all right. I don't get it.
Number five is like, that guy wears a goddamn mask. How did I lose out to him?
Really, I know. It's like, how did I get beat by the mask, dude? What's going on here?
It's so funny. You get Stone Sour, you've got Slipknot, everybody, you seem to be the go-to guy that everybody wants to replace somebody in their band. I would have loved to have seen you in Velvet Revolver and revive that thing, but look, I'm glad everything else is going so great for you, and we look forward to seeing you at the Amphitheater on Saturday. Tickets are available at LiveNation.com. It's a summer's last stand tour. Appreciate you coming on the air, buddy.
Oh, no worries, man. It's my pleasure. You guys take it easy. Yeah.
I can't wait to see you at a wrestling event or something.
I'm always going, too, yeah. I mean, when I'm close, I try to go. I take my son, who's 12, and we go, and, we, you know, he's a Cena fan, but I don't hold that against him.
Yeah, you can't have a good, you can't have a, he's got jean shorts. You can't have a guy with jean shorts being your hero.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And
yeah.
Good thing you got the 12-year-old, then you can blame it on him. I watch it because my kid, I live through my kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I root for Cena because, you know, my son does.
Yeah.
I get it, that's fine.
Thanks a lot, dude. I appreciate talking to you.
No worries, brother. Take it easy,
man. Take it easy, man. There you go, Corey Taylor.
Steve and Julie Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Ulmerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.